Our scripture reading for this hour's lesson is taken from the first chapter of the book of Acts. Acts 1, verses 9 through 11. Acts, the first chapter, verses 9 through 11. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by him in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in the like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Well, once again, honored to have you here with us today as we worship God in spirit and in truth, not only this Sunday, but every day of the year that we are blessed by the Lord to live here on this earth. Those listening by way of radio, we'd like to invite you to come out and be a part of any of our services in person. You'd be our honored guest. And also, we would love to extend an invitation to you to our neighborhood Bible study Monday nights at 6 for refreshment, 6:30 for a study of Acts here in the building. There was a person who may have been missing some marbles in the head, had watched a documentary on the History Channel about ice fishing. And so he decided, well, I'd like to go ice fishing, so he rented all the equipment. He went to his nearest frozen lake, and he sat down just barely into the ice, starts to cut a hole in the ice, and hears a voice from the heavens say, "There are no fish there." He says, "Okay," and he gets up and moves out to the middle of the frozen lake, sits down, starts to pour him a cup of coffee out of his thermos, starts to cut the hole, and again he hears a voice from the heavens say, "There are no fish there." A little nervous, gets up, goes to the far end of the frozen lake, sits down, and before he can even pull out his ice pick, again a voice from the heavens says, "There are no fish there." The man, confused, stands up and says, "Who are you, God?" And the voice says, "No, I own the ice rink." Okay. Now that we've got that out of the way for today, I'm going to go ahead and tell you now, I love this sermon. I stole this idea. I modified it. I'm in a preacher group on Facebook where we swap sermon ideas. It worked well there. I believe it has worked well in the past, and I believe it will work well today. We're talking about the return of Jesus, and it's going to be an object lesson. You know, Jesus Christ, the master teacher, he used objects to illustrate his points. The entirety of today's sermon is an object lesson. I think you'll get it there at the end, if not before. So to better illustrate this, I have asked John to help me out. Don't start it yet, John. He has my wife's phone and the alarm's turned all the way up on it. He can pick anywhere he wants between 12 and 22 minutes. The choice is yours, but don't start it yet, okay? When the timer goes off, whether I am mid-thought, mid-word, or mid-verse, as soon as I hear that timer go off, I'm going to quit talking. And in that moment, as I quit talking, I'm going to walk this one step down, and we will sing the invitation song. Go ahead and turn to it, if you will. It's 674. And in fact, to better benefit our study, if there's room beside you on the pew, go ahead and keep your songbook open to that number. And if you don't have room, put it under your Bible. I want this to be ready. There's a great day coming. I didn't ask Gary to lead that song, but boy, it's going to be very fitting. When I stop talking, Gary knows, right? Gary knows he's going to stand up and we're going to sing this invitation song. And we're just going to sing the first verse. There's a great day coming. So, I'm not going to watch the clock. John, are you ready? Are you ready? Start the timer now. We'll go ahead and start by offering the Lord's invitation. Jesus Christ says in John chapter 8 and verse 24, "Unless you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins." Dear friends, there are people all over the world this very moment that have obeyed the gospel and they are living faithful to the Lord. And yet sadly, there are too many people who have either not obeyed the gospel and are condemned, or they have obeyed but they have fallen away, dear friends, and they're still condemned. Dear friend, if you've not put on the name of Jesus Christ this morning, we're going to extend the Lord's invitation. You need to become a Christian today, because no one knows when Jesus Christ will return. To become a Christian, you hear the gospel, you believe that it's true, you repent of your sins, you make that public confession before a crowd such as this. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Upon that confession, you're immersed, go down that watery grave, come up a new creature alive in Christ. If you've not obeyed the gospel, I encourage you to do that this morning when we sing the invitation song. Dear Christian friend, remain very faithful to the very end, because We don't know when Christ will return. If you haven't been living a faithful life, I encourage you to respond to the Lord's invitation. We'd love to pray with you, pray for you. As Brother Gary so excellently pointed out in James 5:16, in our first lesson, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. See, here's the thing I've noticed being in church my whole life. 9 times out of 10, people who need to respond to the Lord's invitation already know they need to respond to the Lord's invitation. And oftentimes they talk themselves out of it. That's why we're just singing one verse. What I want us to do for the rest of our time, here's every verse that we may cover. And we're not going to cover all these. Run these references with me. We're going to look at what does the Bible say about the return of Jesus Christ. Because that's what we're talking about this morning, right? What does the Bible say about the return? So you're with me there in Acts chapter 1, which is where we were on Monday nights in our Monday night Bible study. We see Acts is the history of the Lord's church. And Jesus Christ has just talked to his disciples because they thought, verse 6, that he was going to restore again the kingdom to Israel. That Jesus' disciples, although he'd been with them some three and a half years, they still thought it was going to be an earthly kingdom up to the very last moment. Jesus said, it's never meant to be earthly. He says, it's going to be spiritual. You're going to preach. Notice verse 8. Be witnesses in Jerusalem, that's where the first gospel sermon's preached, in Judea, that's right after Jerusalem, in Samaria, chapter 8, and the uttermost parts of the earth, chapter 8, through the end of the book. And notice this, as Jesus is speaking, I want you to try to picture in your mind, if you can, when he had spoken these things, they beheld Jesus Christ is taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sights. They're looking up so much that he goes in the clouds, and Jesus Christ is no longer on this earth. He's no longer in the atmosphere. They looked steadfastly toward heaven. There were two men stood by in white apparel. We would call them angels. And they said, you men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken from you to heaven, he shall come in a like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. So Jesus Christ has gone. And thanks be to God, Jesus Christ is coming back. Go with me to the chapter in 1 Thessalonians. We'll spend more time here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, Paul had been in Thessalonica in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. He kind of had to leave Thessalonica for the sake of his life, comes into a city of Berea, where they are more noble than the Thessalonians, because the Bereans search the scriptures daily to see if what Paul had said was true. But notice, when Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, the church has a problem. In that there are faithful men and women at the church at Thessalonica who have died before Jesus Christ has come back. See, they were promised if we obey, we'll get to live with him in eternity, and he's going to come back and get us. And they thought it was going to be a short period. Well, 2,000 years of history has proved that it hasn't happened yet. He could come this very hour. He could come before the end of this sermon on the return of Jesus. But notice, when Paul writes to those in Thessalonica, he says, I do not want you to be ignorant, verse 13, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That's King James for they have died. He says that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if's a conditional word. If is the biggest little word in the English language. He says, if condition, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. If we believe this, what? Even so, them which sleep will God bring with him. God's going to bring with him. Now, there's two kinds of if in Scripture. There's if that means possibly yes and possibly no. And then there's the if that means since. Since we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, then we also believe that he's going to return and bring those who are asleep with him. Notice verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is not just what Paul thinks. Paul is inspired when he writes this. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, we shall not prevent them which are asleep. See, the thought of Thessalonica was, well, what do we do? Because I'm living here and I'm faithful, but my brother, my physical brother, he is dead. Is me being alive going to hurt him, even though he's already passed on? He said, it's not going to prevent the coming of the Lord. Christ is going to come the same. Notice verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Oh, you Thessalonians, hey, you wonder what happened. Those that are dead are going to rise first. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain, we will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. and so shall we ever be with the Lord. See, those that are dead and faithful in the Lord, they're going to rise first. And if Jesus Christ comes back in our lifetime and we're faithful to the Lord when he comes back, then we will rise up in the air. Now, what does that rising look like? I don't have the slightest idea other than Paul says we're going to rise. If you want to try to strike the Superman pose, I guess you can. I know a preacher friend wanted to do that. I said, brother, I won't say his name. I don't really care what it looks like. I just want to be there, right? I just want to be the faithful one. Whether I'm still alive or whether I've passed on, I don't care which category I'm in. Because my goal is to be faithful to the very end. Revelation 2:10 and Matthew 10:22 endures the very end, faithful unto death. But notice verse 18, which really to me is the crux of the whole passage. And I have this underlined for this reason. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. O you Thessalonians, and by extrapolation us today, you're worried about those who have passed on. And you have questions about this and questions about that. And Paul says, by inspiration, here's what I know, and what I know is comforting to you. Now, I've met people who get all bent out of shape, and they say, well, what about this, and what about that? I don't know, don't really care. I know that the dead that are faithful will rise first, and we that are alive and remain will be caught up second to meet him in the air, and this is comforting to me, knowing that I believe that Jesus died and rose again. He says, chapter 5, verse 1, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. He says, I don't have to explain how time works to you, but I do need to explain this. Jesus Christ's return will come as a thief in the night. I have never watched the news or read the newspaper where they interviewed somebody who broke into somebody's house. And they say, well, how'd you do it? And they never said, well, I called them at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and said, by the way, at about 10:30 tonight, I'm going to break in. No, they don't do that. Why? It's unexpected. It happens when you least expect it. During the night, when you're asleep, they think they can sneak in and sneak out with your possessions. That's multiple times in Scripture the way the return of the Lord is pointed. Other than the sound of the trumpet, we get no other warning. Save for that one. And at that point, it's going to be too late. That's why our previous slide said, obey the gospel or remain faithful, because we don't know when Christ comes back. Go with me to our next passage under examination. A familiar passage, I feel, to the Bible student. Actually, a familiar passage if you go to funerals. Not just because I use it in funerals, and I'm sure Brother Gary does as well, but almost every funeral I've been to mentions this passage of Scripture in some shape, form, or another. Jesus Christ has been with his apostles now for about 3 years, and he has just delivered the heartbreaking news that he is leaving them. Oh, wait, it's not really heartbreaking, because he told them from the very beginning, I'm not here forever. But they had a hard time wrapping their minds around that. So he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Paul wrote to comfort them. Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. I dare say people wonder the most about the afterlife, what's going to happen. We talked about Betty White in our class just very briefly this morning. I saw an interview with her and Larry King, and she said, I know everything about life except what happens when you die. And that's what she was most looking forward to, was that split second after. I'm afraid she may not have enjoyed it as much as she wanted to. But you know, that's true, right? I can tell you all about medical science and how to live and how to earn money and how to retire. I can read books, can talk to bankers like Dwayne and other people. I can talk about running a successful business, Brother Troy and other people, whatever the case may be. But it's really hard to talk to somebody who's already died. So we are kind of confused about that, right? So Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. That should be enough, right? I don't know how it's going to happen. But if I believe in God, that's all the consolation I need. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, wait, there's that word if again. There's that conditional statement. He says, if I go, Acts 1, we watched him go up when we read the Scripture, right? He says, I will come again And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. Well, how comforting is this, right? I don't understand what happens after I take my last breath. Now, I've read Scripture, and I've read people who claim to know. But I know what Jesus says. In heaven, in my Father's house, are many mansions. That's the same word for abode on over about the 23rd verse. A dwelling place with God, not an actual mansion, although that's the easiest way for us to think about it. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. Dwelling places for me and for you. He says, if it wasn't so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place, and if I go, I'll come again. Now, to them, here in John 14, it didn't mean as much to me and you, right? Because they hadn't lived through the ascension of Christ yet. But we're about 2,000 years past the time when Christ ascended. So I have book, chapter, verse proof in Luke and in Acts, among other places, that Jesus Christ ascended. So since he ascended, he's coming back for me. And then Thomas, who we call him Doubting Thomas. I like Inquisitive Thomas. I like questioning Thomas. Thomas wants more information every time we see him asking a question. He said, because Jesus just said, and whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. And Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? He wants more information, right? He's probing to know more. Jesus said, I am the way. He said, you'll know the way. I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me or except through me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth you know him and you have seen him. Philip's going to keep going, but that will suffice it for this passage. Dear friends, how do I access the Father? Is it through a little prayer rug that somebody sent me in the mail? I put it down and put my hand on the TV. You look at me like they don't do that. I got one last year. Well, Sarah did. I opened it. It was in her name, but we're one together. Is it because I put my hand on the radio? No. How do I get to the Father? I am the way, I am the truth, and I am life. No man comes to the Father except through me. That means I can't pray to anyone else but Jesus Christ, have access to the Father. Well, what does it mean when he says the way, the truth, and the life? Here's your free grammar lesson for coming today. These a definite article, and these specific. If I said, here is a microphone in front of me, guess what? There are two. Which microphone do I mean? But if I say, here is the microphone, the one with a windscreen on it, the pulpit microphone, I have eliminated the other one by calling it the. Jesus Christ is not a way, a truth, or a life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Comfort one another with these words. Let not your heart be troubled. Let's see how Paul put it. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 50. And dear friends, if I could assign titles to sections of Scripture, Paul wrote the master's thesis on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, known as 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There were those in the church at Corinth that were confused, not the same way the church at Thessalonica was confused, but they were confused nonetheless. Notice here what he says. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. What are we talking about, Paul? You cannot inherit the next life in this physical body. We're going to be changed. I don't know if you know it or not, but this physical body is breaking down on you. It's been breaking down on you since the moment you were born, right? Slowly been dying. We're blessed with time that we live our lives. But your body is not meant to live forever. Now, you can have medical advancements, and there's nothing wrong if you need a new hip or a new whatever to get that. I'm not saying that. But our bodies are finite. They're not meant to leave this earth. They can't go into the spiritual realm. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Notice verse 51. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. What is a mystery? It's something that was not yet known at the time. Paul says, I'm going to show you something that there are people who are reading this letter. They didn't know until I explain it here. It's not like a Scooby-Doo. It's not a man in a mask. It's something that they didn't know, but now they know. He says, we shall not all sleep, we shall all be changed. Once again, not just die and just lie there in the ground. He says, in a moment, verse 52, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. In the twinkling of an eye. Literally in Greek, it means in the jerk of an eye. A blink, or maybe if you're having an eye spasm, and you know how quickly your eye can just pulsate and quick, that quick. In fact, that snap was too long, for in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. By the way, that's the only time this phrase is used in Scripture. Now, I know a lot of people, when they get to this passage, they start getting nervous. This is not a lesson to scare you. Dear friends, we should take comfort in this. Why? Because in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. There's going to come a time we're going to hear that trumpet, and we're not going to live on this earth anymore. And we'll all be changed. When are we going to be changed, Paul? Is it a yearly process? Are we going to sit here for 1,000 years? No. He says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Dear friends, I am afraid this to be true, and I'd love for you to argue against it. That people are banking. When they hear the trumpet, they think, I'm going to hop in my car, hop in my truck, I'm going to drive to church, I'm going to come forward when I hear the trumpet, and I'm going to make my life right then. Dear friends, that's not how it works. When the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ shall rise, that's it. There's no do-overs. There's no going back to improve your life. We learned that in the story of the rich man Lazarus. He said, let me go back. He said, Father Abraham said, I can't let you go back. He said, send somebody else. He said, they have Moses and the prophets. They've got God's word. Let them hear God's word. He says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the trumpet, that's it. There'll be no more. People who are planning on doing one thing or another that day, guess what? It's not going to happen. You're not going to make that appointment because this earth is going to be destroyed. He says, verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. This flesh is not meant to last forever. It's just not. And can I be quite honest, dear friends? Thanks be to God, it's not. I don't want to live here forever. I love where we live. I love being here. I don't want to live here forever. I'm ready to go where He's at, and I long for it every day. And depending on how many, can I say,